Father in heaven, what we now understand is from the very earliest years of childhood, there are very distinct impressions that come to children and knowledge that is communicated to them. And it is our desire and prayer that these children of ours love you with all of their hearts from the very first days of their lives. And so we pray for your anointing for their time together. And we pray for ourselves that you will give to us childlike faith to trust you and love you and to hunger and thirst after you. And so cause your gospel to come to us this day, not just in words, but in the Holy Spirit and with transforming grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me explain that between Easter and Pentecost, we are studying prayer, basically the Lord's Prayer, in preparation for that time at Pentecost when we renew our baptismal vows, which is our custom in this church. Very serious thing to renounce evil and Satan and his dominion and to again assume the responsibilities of discipleship. And so we are studying that, and today I really want to focus on the prayer, which is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our scripture, however, is from the 17th chapter of John, our gospel reading, because this is Jesus' own prayer, and I want to read these verses 13 through 19 so that you will understand that our Lord Jesus himself was intense and urgent in his prayer for us. He prays, "I am coming to you now, Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified." And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth." And by the way, at the end of that prayer, not disconnected, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So what are you asking? We get so accustomed to praying that prayer that we can put our minds in neutral, can't we? Just sort of zing our way through it while we're wondering what we're going to have for dinner today. We do that. But what are you asking when you pray that prayer seriously? Well, there's nothing obscure here, nothing difficult. This is a prayer for the dominion of God. We have seen in these past months more dramatic replacements of governments than probably in any comparable period in human history. We have seen nation after nation where one rule or dominion was replaced by another one. And this is a prayer that prays exactly that. Your sovereign saving dominion come. Your agenda be carried out on earth as in heaven. That's exactly what this is. A prayer that God will establish, that he will establish. It's not us commanding God, it is us praying, "God, sovereignly do your will. Establish your saving rule. Establish your sovereign dominion. Establish your new creation right here as in heaven." That's about as straightforward as you can get. Do you remember your baptismal vows? Pentecost is coming down the road here. In those classic baptismal vows that go back into the early second century at least, there is first of all a renunciation of Satan and all of his dominion of darkness and all that is destructive and demeaning. And then there is a deliberate choosing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to own Him as Savior and Lord, right? I just want to be sure everybody is, you know, here. And then there is that part where we literally become again identified with the kingdom of God, with His church, with the army of God. I love the old traditional one where the officiating priest or whoever took oil and marked you on the forehead with a sign of the cross and said, "Welcome into the army of God." That kind of a baptismal vow. So this prayer that we're praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," is an ongoing affirmation of that baptismal vow, of that choice. We get a little fuzzy on that, don't we? This past Monday evening here, the men of the church, one of our deputy sheriffs gave an interesting talk on Satanists here in Henderson County. There are Satanist cults everywhere. We're no exception. The thing that he did not say in the fuller picture is that that's not the whole picture. The problem we have is that we assume that somehow there's sort of a neutral area out here where most of us live. And if you're really a super Christian, you're over on one pole among those disciples who take it all seriously. And then if you're an extremist in the other direction, you become a worshiper of Satan out there. But we're sort of safe here in the middle. Everything, you know, nice flowers and trees and everything's nice and everybody's good kind of thing. That's not what the scripture teaches, by the way. The Apostle John says, "The whole world lieth in the wicked one." This prayer, "Deliver us from the evil one," in the Lord's Prayer, is not any little unnecessary P.S. C.S. Lewis made the comment that there's not one square inch of neutral territory in all of God's creation. All of it is contested. And Jesus called Satan the prince of this world, but he also came deliberately to defeat him. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil." Some of you here, people who are ripe in years, there are a few of you here, remember a very prominent figure of a half a century ago by the name of Whittaker Chambers. Whittaker Chambers, before he became notorious for his involvement in other affairs in government, was an editor of Life magazine, and he did a marvelous article one New Year's about interviewing Satan in a penthouse atop a New York City skyscraper. I have that reprint still. It's a fascinating one because it's got good theology in it. Satan is there, very sophisticated, in a tuxedo, looking out over the whole world, which was his, and telling the interviewer he did not really mind at all when people pictured him as some critter in a red suit with horns and a tail, because that was so ridiculous that people sort of laughed about it. He says, "I like that because that takes their mind off what I'm really doing." The sophisticated subversion of all the institutions of this world and of people's lives, the malignant darkness that subtly erodes good institutions, families, governments, corporations that in themselves could be good but become destructive. It is into this dark and malignant scene that God came in the person of His Son to inaugurate a new dominion, a kingdom, a saving dominion, to bring salvation, to establish a new creation, which there is justice, peace, and forgiveness, and reconciliation. Yes, Jesus came to reconcile heaven and earth by the blood of His cross. That's our message. And He calls women and men, such as you and I, to become part of this joy. In this prayer of Jesus that I read just a moment ago, He says, "I pray that they may have my joy in them." He calls us to be part of the joy of this new dominion and to become agents of the kingdom of God, to be the agents of His new creation, right where we live. Now that begins to get exciting, because when you're praying week by week, as we pray here, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," what are we praying? We're praying that Ricky and Ed and Bill and Betty and Amen. All of us will be the agents of that new creation right here. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, but what is the king's agenda? What is this we're praying about, thy kingdom come? Where do you find out about that? Where do you read the constitutional documents of the kingdom of God? Hey, that's why I've been spending so much time on the Sermon on the Mount. That's probably the best digest of it that I know of anywhere. But all of scriptures are that way. That's why the apostle will say to us, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, so that we'll know who the king is and what his agenda is all about. You see, God didn't come in Christ to give us some kind of a devotional experience, folk. He didn't even come to make us religious. He came to establish a new creation, a new dominion, a new kingdom. He came to make all things new. Now, this kingdom prayer that is before us, this kingdom consciousness that we're praying for, begins in you and in me. It is a prayer, a deliberate intention to be the recipient of God's love in Christ and to be, therefore, the embodiment of His kingdom, to be the embodiment of His saving reign, to be the embodiment of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're praying that we will be that kind of an embodiment. And then it's a prayer that will be done on earth. By the way, on this Mother's Day, and fathers, you're not off the hook. This is a prayer that God's dominion will be established in our homes, our families. As a matter of fact, that may be one of the primary places we're praying for. That God's dominion and God's agenda be the focal point of our family life. You know, one of the sad things about the United States is how dysfunctional is the Christian church and how dysfunctional are the Christian homes, where people who profess Christ are materialists like everybody else. Happy pagans growing up in these homes. Sensualists, no word of God, no models of kingdom parents. What's even worse, when the children become the authority figures in the family and blackmail their parents into doing their will. There is in the funny papers a funny comic strip, funny, but then again it's very tragic, call for better, for worse. Some of y'all read that. How many of y'all read funny papers? I need to know what your source of nurture is. Yes. Okay. But you see, this is a prayer that whether you are a parent praying a kingdom prayer for your child or a child praying a kingdom prayer for your parent, you're praying that the dominion of God will be established in your home, that the word of God will dwell there. Do you understand that? I'm amazed so often at how devoid of kingdom understanding are so many of the children of the church. I have, like some of you, I have taught young people in summer camps, church kids in church camps for a long time. And it always sort of wipes me out to find out how, when children get to high school, how little they know about the wonder of God's love in Jesus Christ and how few models they have. And Deanna, you're sitting there. You were in my youth group how many years ago now? 25, 30, somewhere back there. And you don't remember this, but I remember one night I was asking you youngsters, who was your model of Christian living in that church? And you struggled to find, beyond your mother and one or two others, the chestnuts. You couldn't think of any. And I thought, isn't that sad? See, now, the third prayer here, by the way, is a prayer for this kingdom vision in Hendersonville. We're not praying about what God is doing initially in some faraway clime. We're saying, Lord, thy kingdom come here on earth. We're praying for a vision of what God wants for this congregation and the other Christian congregations as we permeate and infiltrate this community, where we live and work and play. It becomes kingdom citizens. I met a few weeks ago a young lady who could only have been in her early 30s and was already the vice president of an electronics corporation. And it was fascinating the deliberateness with which she had moved into that position. She had gone to seminary, not to become a pastor, but to learn her theology so that she could be an articulate kingdom citizen in corporate life. And she had moved right in there and through her skills had climbed up the ladder and was already a vice president. And talking about what that meant to implement the concerns of truth and justice and caring and efficiency and so forth in that corporation as one of God's children. I think I've told you from time to time about the artisan, a Christian gentleman in Tallahassee who's a plumber, who advertises himself as the Christian plumber because he does crackerjack good plumbing work, but he's also a Christian. As he's in homes under people's sinks, he's talking to people, he's expressing kingdom values. But what is more exciting than those kinds of illustrations out there somewhere? What's more exciting is every one of you. Every one of you. As an incarnation of the Sermon on the Mount in Hendersonville. Doesn't that excite you? Hey, that's your calling. That's what you're praying for. If you don't want that, don't pray the Lord's Prayer anymore, because you're not saying, Lord, I'm going to bring your kingdom. You're saying, Lord, you sovereignly initiate it, and then fasten your seatbelt. This is a prayer, by the way, that your small groups become kingdom cells. That when you're gathering together in your covenant groups, studying and praying and supporting each other and nurturing each other, what you're doing is nurturing God's agenda in each other, in this community, reinforcing each other. These small groups really ought to be revolutionary cells. They ought to be when you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do in those groups. It's an exciting prayer, brothers and sisters, and it is happening. You see, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's not sitting out there wringing his hands. He is doing exactly what we're praying for and doing it in surprising ways. See, who's running this world is not Lee Iacocca or not Tom Brokaw or not the Madonna or not Gorbachev or John Sununu or Bruce Springsteen or whoever your hero is. Who is the ruler of the kings of the earth is Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, I want you to note also that at the end of this prayer, connected, is a prayer that says, hey, it ain't neutral here, brothers and sisters. Lead us not into testing and snatch us from the evil one. It is the Lord saying to us that walking through this world is very much like walking through a minefield. And we are not looking for temptations that will overwhelm us. We're not saying, boy, I'm a strong Christian now, I can make it. We know that we can be undone, all of us, and that our adversary, the devil, is there seeking to subvert us in all of his ways. And so we're saying to the sovereign Lord, lead us not into testing, but deliver us from the evil one. But what is wonderful is that what the church has added on to the end of this prayer after scriptures is, what? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is a prayer for God's revolution. And when you pray it, you are signing on. This is a prayer that asks God to irresistibly establish his new creation right here, beginning with you and me, by his grace, by his power, through his son, Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you ready? And everybody is sitting there giving serious thought, and I'm glad you are, because you do not sign on in that kind of an agenda unless you're serious to have God work in your life. But unto him who was able to keep you from falling, and to present you without blemish before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen.